Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I think the information that I'm going to talk about this morning really builds well on the conversation that was just being had at the end of the previous presentation and how we're approaching some of this in Florida. I just want to take the opportunity right now to say thank you. It's a wonderful opportunity to speak to this group, and I always learn things from giving presentations and also from the questions in the audience, so thank you all so much. What I want to talk a little bit about today is where we are in Florida in terms of applying surveillance case definitions and the case classification criteria, so the confirmed probable suspect criteria systematically, and discuss the advantages of instituting some system-generated logic to appropriately classify those cases according to the case definition, and also to talk about classifying the cases according to the case definition in relationship to the event date of the case. And at the end, then, I'm going to provide some examples of what this looks like in Florida. So as all of us know, since we're at the FIN conference, using computerized systems is really helpful and core to conducting effective surveillance for reportable diseases. And we have implemented several technical enhancements to our reportable disease system, which is called Merlin, and what I'm going to be talking about this morning, to improve this process. Just to step back a little bit to give folks an idea about what Florida looks like in terms of our Department of Health infrastructure, we have nearly 9 million people. We have over 45,000 cases of reportable diseases that are reported annually. That does not include the number of case reports that are actually received. As we've already talked about this morning, there are often duplicative case reports that make up an individual case that is actually reported. And this information is for the data that is reported within Merlin. It does not include some of those programmatically funded areas, which include TB, STDs, and HIV/AIDS. We have one centralized state health office that really functions to provide support and guidance to the county health departments. There are 67 different county health departments, and it's actually the county health departments that complete the case investigations and complete the gathering of the associated case data and do that data entry within Merlin. And as we've already heard about this morning, Florida is no different than other states. There's a lot of varying degree of technical expertise at the local level, and I would say particularly in regards to understanding our surveillance goals. Many of those individuals are actually public health nurses, and they have, through their training, a great focus on the individual and do that individual sort of clinical and case management very well, but sometimes they have a lot less expertise and background in the area of public health surveillance. So what we've seen in Florida is a couple of big problem areas in terms of understanding and applying case definitions effectively. I would say the first and probably the most common one is there's a general inadequate understanding of the case definition components. So, for example, the case definition will say something about an antigen detection test, and the epidemiologist receives a test that says EIA, and sometimes they don't understand that an EIA is an antigen detection. So there's some information in terms of the way that the case definitions are written and in terms of the knowledge and background and expertise of those individual disease investigators. Then there's also an inadequate understanding of the case definition structure. So when one person reads the case definition, they perhaps don't interpret the and or statements in the same way as another person. I would say third then is this criteria, which is maybe what I sort of term as faith-based epidemiology, where the disease investigator really feels that it should be a confirmed case based off of their investigation. And maybe that's based off of talking to the person, some additional clinical information that they receive that does not necessarily apply to the surveillance case definition. And so they really want to classify the case in a certain way, but that doesn't necessarily fall in line with the way that surveillance case definitions are intended to be applied. So in Florida, then, we've had a little bit of a frame shift in terms of how to go about improving our disease reporting. And I would say the first thing that we have done within Merlin in terms of tackling case definition is that the system now automatically applies the case definition based off of the event date of the case. And when I say event date, what I mean is the earliest date that is available that is associated with that case. So we are not necessarily classifying the case based off of the day that it's reported, but the earliest date that is associated with that case. And as case definitions change over time, then the case definition actually applies the system applies the case definition that was in place at the time that the case sort of originated. So if you get something that's reported much later sometimes and then your case definition has changed, the disease investigator will actually be using the old case definition to classify the case appropriately. And then the system does that for people, so people no longer have to look at their case definition books and determine when the case definition changed and be sort of as up to date on those pieces of information. And it's really then that the technology has improved our ability to be able to classify cases systematically. So to talk just a little bit about Merlin now, it operates in all 67 county health departments. There are over 1,000 users. It is a role-based system, so we have different roles for data entry, users, supervisors, and it is designed and developed in-house. So to talk a little bit about the case data management then, the counties, as I mentioned before, are the ones that do the disease investigation. So we really consider them to be the owners of the data. They are responsible for any updates on the cases, for processing the laboratory reports, and originally classifying the cases, as well as doing follow-up to gather additional information. And then the state functions to administer the overall system, so we spend a bit of time doing data cleaning, merging duplicate profiles, and have a lot of system logic in place to improve that. And then what's listed as B here on the slide is actually case reviewers, and they accept, return, or recommend deletion to the local county health departments. Those case reviewers are what we consider to be disease experts. So they are state-level epidemiologists located across the Department of Health, and they have expertise in a particular area. So, for example, Legionella or meningococcal disease. And they're really responsible for the final review of the cases. They conduct the final evaluation of the case classification, data completeness, and we've found that even though the system has a lot of logic built in place, depending on where that logic is, case reviewers have more or less work to do. Due to the volume of case reports that we have in Florida, not all diseases are assigned a state-level disease reviewer to ensure completeness and that the case meets the case definition. And we really decide case reviewers based off of those that have complicated case definitions and those that are either high priority or unusual diseases. And what we're really trying to do with Merlin then is have less and less work that is built onto the locals and then those disease reviewers to make sure that things are applied systematically. So what we've done then is incorporate the case classification algorithms into the system. And we'll look at this in a couple of slides. So we actually break apart the individual case definition components into deconstructive, sort of simple yes-no statements. So for each clinical criteria that is part of the case definition, for example, fever, rash, those are all broken apart separately and checkboxes are provided. And then the system determines whether or not it should be classified as confirmed, probable, or suspect. As I mentioned, we also instituted effective date logic for the case definitions to assure that the appropriate case definition is being used when the disease investigator is reviewing the information. And that's also proved to be helpful on the analysis side when we are trying to determine when case definitions changed, et cetera. We have all that information stored within the system. So the case definition screen, this is for a system administrator role. And you essentially log into the system. As you can see here, you would choose to go to the admin section, and then you choose the Florida disease code, and then this is from our test data side. And so you can see when the case definitions have changed. When we originally changed this logic, we sort of just set all of the old case definitions to originally be at 1900, and then we have put the correct dates along with those. And then you would either click to preview or edit the case definition. And you just go in and type in the information. So if you want to have a title at the top or some kind of alert that talks about calling the Bureau of Epidemiology, you type that in, and then the title of the disease, and then you choose your individual checkboxes. So as I mentioned previously, you separate out the case definition so that you could then select as an individual answer a generalized rash illness lasting greater than 3 days. And then after you enter that information, you see this legend that appears at the bottom, which is the information that you just typed in. And then as the administrator, you can set which responses would be correct for determining if it was confirmed, probable, or suspect. So in this example, to stick with measles, if, as according to the case definition, response 1213 would be confirmed. So there's a positive serologic test for a measles IgM antibody. And that's all you need in order for the case to be considered confirmed. And then you build the separate response sets out. You can also set in the system whether or not a laboratory report is required to report the case, and also what overall result is needed on that laboratory report. We haven't completely expanded this yet, but we hope with electronic laboratory reporting, we will be able to have those electronic laboratory reports come in and then automatically come in line with the case definition screen so that once those laboratory reports are attached to the case, that the checkboxes on the case definition screen are automatically populated. Right now, the disease investigator has to actually look at the laboratory reports in order to populate the screen. The other thing that we're still working on is symptoms. So we have special symptom pages within the system where you actually need to enter in the systems and most, or the symptoms, and most case definitions that we have require some type of symptoms associated with them. And one thing that we see is many times individuals will get, say, a positive laboratory result, but they and won't necessarily have symptoms associated with the case, but they still want to classify the case as confirmed. And so by pre-populating this information onto the case definition screen, we can, again, force the end user to recognize that they need symptoms in order to classify their case appropriately. So right now, you do enter in the symptoms into the system, but it's not pre-populating the screen, and we will build that in. We have that scheduled for the next release, where as soon as someone types a symptom in, that also automatically populates the case definition screen. So this is what the user sees then. They see the effective date of the case definition, and then right now they are actually checking off these various items after they've reviewed their cases. And again, as I said, in the next several iterations, we'll be pre-checking some of these based off of other pieces of data entry or electronic laboratory results that are entered. And then based off of what the user checks, then the system sets the criteria. Or the case classification criteria. I also have just listed here that would be listed here what would show up as confirmed, probable, or suspect. We do still have some diseases in Maryland where we don't have that case definition screen set. For example, when we had our introduction of H1N1, we were just allowing individuals to classify the case as confirmed, probable, or suspect. We didn't actually put in a case definition screen at the time because we felt that the case definition was evolving so quickly that it really wasn't useful for us. But at the same time, we did see that people had a fair amount of misclassification when they were selecting whether or not people met the confirmed probable case definition. So I think it was a really good example for us to recognize the benefits that we have already seen of instituting the case definition screens. So really to summarize, as we move away from reading and interpreting written case definitions, we can apply these system-generated algorithms to really improve the consistent application of the case definitions and the appropriate case classification. And I already mentioned these future areas related to pre-populating on electronic laboratory reporting and symptoms. And what we've seen on the case reviewer side, that's again those state-level reviewers that are responsible for saying, yes, this truly is complete, is that they are spending a lot less time sending the cases back to the counties, asking for additional pieces of information, or telling them that they do not meet the case definition appropriately. And for us, that's proved to be very important because these disease-level reviewers are few and far between within the Bureau of Epidemiology and across the Department of Health, and it allows them to use their time a little bit more effectively in terms of being able to respond to other areas where their knowledge and expertise is really needed. I will also say that it's proved really easy to use overall for the users. It has improved their understanding of case definitions, whereas previously I think a lot of the locals didn't really see the case definitions in the same way. And the implementation of the effective date logic has also been easier for the users of the system, and they don't have to remember when the case definition changed. The other really nice thing about this is that all of the logic underlying each of the case definition screens is completely transferable and could be reused for multiple applications. We're very excited about the new CSTE case definition position statement structure, because it actually already breaks apart the various pieces of information that we're now putting into our system. So it will make it easier for us when we move through the programming phase, and we will now be able to have a little bit less expertise on putting those case definitions in, because we can simply say, please, let's refer to the new CSTE case definitions in order to be able to move our programming along a little bit more quickly. And I would say overall the uniform reporting criteria, in addition to simplicity and timeliness of our surveillance data, has really improved the specificity of our reporting. And it's really this intersection, I would say, of traditional public health surveillance methods with new technologies and capabilities that provides us this wonderful opportunity to have more accurate data captured and also provide us a much better ability to do quickly, timely, and effective data analysis. I would be happy to take any questions at this time. So, did everyone hear the question? I know there's some people in the back. Yes, okay. So, I mean, that's where the disease investigator really needs to apply the case definition appropriately. And I think that's also, you know, what I mentioned. This was kind of, we have that third criteria of faith-based epidemiology. So, we're really trying to help people understand that that's not effective when it comes to disease surveillance, which is applying systematic ways of counting cases across jurisdictions. And so if there are no symptoms that are reported, then, well, of course, according to the case definition, I mean, for example, Giardia doesn't require symptoms to be reported and it can still be confirmed, then the case would not be classified as a confirmed case if symptoms were required. And even on some of these more basic and more common diseases, I mean, with some of the, like hepatitis A, which I feel like is a pretty simplistic case definition, we still have people that try to report cases without symptoms. Even though, you know, when I read the case definition, it seems very clear that you need an acute onset of symptoms. But I think that's where, as you become more and more familiar with case definitions, you really understand them well, and not everyone at the local level does. So the system really forces you to make that choice on data entry. Yes, go ahead, Dan. So we do a lot of trainings in the Department of Health. We actually have what we call now a Training Tuesday, and every Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. is web-based training. We offer lots of training on Merlin itself. So we have a trainer that travels around to the different sections of the state. And I wouldn't say that we have done one overall large training to try and convince people that this is the better way to go, but the more that we develop Merlin and provide support for individuals, the more people have tended to understand that line of thinking. I also say in Florida, you know, as I'm sure in other states too, that as people use computers more, they start to see the benefits. I mean, Merlin's been around since January 2001, and when it first went live, I was not there, but my understanding from the people who were there at the time is there was a lot of resistance. And now, you know, we're working on new case report forms. We have an enteric disease sub-work group, and they're really trying hard to standardize some of the enteric disease items. And the work group is made up of primarily county health departments. And what I'm hearing is, well, as soon as we get this form done, can't we get it into Merlin? So I think it's just little bits over time that has been really helpful. We still have some of those wonderful public health nurses that have been around for a long period of time, and they're really wonderful at certain aspects, not quite as excited about the technology. And I still hear comments like, Merlin is telling me something and Merlin is wrong. And it's really interesting that Merlin somehow got a voice through all of this. But so, you know, it's slow, I'll say. I would say it's a mixture. I mean, most of the work that is done on Merlin is done through contract staff. We support the work on Merlin through the Public Health Preparedness Cooperative Agreement. We are really lucky in the fact that we've been well-funded over the years, and we have really focused on, at least in Florida, being able to utilize Merlin effectively for the diseases that sort of are considered of public health importance and to get that information in quickly and timely. But a lot of the things that we do for those diseases are really helpful for all of our other diseases. I do feel like, you know, we have kind of a whole drove of people that work on Merlin. We meet every Thursday for 2 to 3 hours to talk about system enhancements and changes, and have a regular production cycle where we're releasing new changes. I'd say probably 4 to 5 times a year. So it's pretty active.
And what the numbers are
total? The total number of people?
Of IT
related people? I'll say roughly about 10.
Great, thank you.